What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is episode number 82 of the Nintendo Fever podcast. It's all about new games and craziness, but as always, I'm joined by my co-host, who I haven't actually spoke to for, I would venture to say almost a month, actually. Holly, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm a little less busy this weekend than I have been of late. So hello to all of our listeners out there. It's been a while. Sorry I haven't been able to join the show for a while here, but I am back and hopefully to stay for a while.
I hope so. It's been fun. Obviously, I missed a couple of episodes, and then you missed a couple of episodes. We missed a couple of episodes. it was a fun one 2 weeks ago when we had the developer of Twisted Fusion come on, and we talked about his game and also Switch news, which I want to hear your opinion of the Switch, because honestly, I haven't really heard what your thoughts are yet. So hopefully we can get into that.
Oh, I was so disappointed that the Switch just happened to be revealed the weekend before, or the week basically before this big family get together weekend that I have. I was like, of all the podcasts to miss, it had to be this one. Thanks, Nintendo or family. Yep. I don't know who to blame.
I think a little bit of both in that scenario.
Yeah.
But we hopefully we'll get to talking about that by the end of the episode. That's what we're going to kind of spend a little bit of time on, is just talking about the Switch and Animal Crossing. Obviously, there was some pretty decent-sized news that came out about Animal Crossing recently. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about recent swag, things that we may or may not have purchased, things that are out this week that you can buy. And we're also going to be talking about what we have been playing. But as always, we're going to start with what we always start with, so we can feel some familiarity.
Familiarity.
Yeah, it's just a weird word that I can't make my mouth do.
It is a tongue twister.
We're going to start somewhere familiar. There we go. With Pokemon. And we're going to... Pokemon is coming out, Holly. Are you excited? Are you ready?
It is coming out. I am... I am so ready. Actually, I don't really feel ready because I still haven't beaten Pokemon Red, you know, the downloadable version on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo hasn't mentioned anything about how that will work with the Pokemon Bank, how you'll be able to get your digital Pokemon.
You will be able to, though, right?
Yes,
they did
you
say
will.
That you can, but they really were very vague. They're like, guess what? You can do this thing. Ha ha. And that was about it. They disappeared into the night, and everyone's like, hey, how do we do that? Oh, okay, he's gone. he's gone in the shadow.
Yeah, I suppose I won't feel completely ready for Pokemon Sun, which is the version I'm getting, until I beat Red. And I'm so close to beating Red. I just have to, you know, go through the Elite Four a few times and level up my Pokemon by retrying the Elite Four, like, multiple times. And then I'll be able to beat it, I think, fairly easily. But until I do that, I probably won't feel 100% ready for Pokemon Sun, but hype-wise, I am so ready for Pokemon Sun.
Well, I think that you have some homework to do when it comes to Pokemon, but let's go ahead and talk about who is that Pokemon.
Yes. Okay, do you have one for me this week?
Because I do.
I didn't ask pre-show. Okay.
I'm all ready.
Okay, so generation first, as always.
We are looking into Generation Uno.
Generation One, okay.
That is one for the English speakers.
Should be easy for me, but let's move on to talking about what type it is, or types.
This is a rock / water type.
Rock and water. I feel like I should know it already, because that is not a very... Oh, it's got to be one of the fossil Pokemon. Okay, so I'm going to start actually asking about its appearance, because I think there are two rock and water type possibilities. Kind of. So does it look more like a snail? Is that not a snail? Yeah, I guess Omanyte or Omastar. It looks like a crab.
No, not like a crab, but what's that one creature that like steals other people's shells?
Oh, good heavens. I have no idea.
I think it's a hermit crab.
Hermit
yeah,
crab,
I think it is.
Maybe?
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say hermit crab, but,
I shouldn't ask if it has a shell, because both of these Pokemon... Well, I'll ask the evolution question next. Is it a first evolution or a second evolution?
It's a second evolution.
Okay, so it is either Omastar or Kabutops.
Okay. I don't know what either one of these truly look like, so I can't help you unless you ask a question about what I'm staring at.
So you can't tell me if it's one of those that I just named?
Well, I feel like that might be giving you a little bit too much information. You should just go back to asking about if there's a shell or not.
Okay, does it have a spiral in its design?
A spiral. I would say that there's a spiral, yes.
Then it's Omastar, right?
It is Omastar, you are correct.
Okay.
Do they both have shells?
Omastar and Omanyte? Yes. Or Kabutops.
Kabutops, or whatever you said it was.
Kabutops does kind of have a shell-like
Okay, so that's why you didn't want to ask thing. About the shell, because it would have been not really helping you separate the two?
Yeah, not too much. Kabutops isn't, like, super shell-like. You should just look up what Kabutops looks like. He's actually cool-looking Pokemon.
Yep, I see what he looks like. So, funny story. These Pokemon, these fossil ones, because I'm just scrolling through them right now, I totally remember when the Pokemon cards came out and they were all fossil stuff. It was like, they released like these packages of Pokemon cards, and they had a bunch of fossil type Pokemon like on the covers of them and stuff like that. I totally remember this. I was living in Tennessee. I was but a 12-year-old child. Oh my gosh. And my mom said, "We're not buying no more of those Pokemon cards. They're bad for you."
Sounds familiar.
Right? Everything fun is bad for you, I guess. Yeah. Yes. So there you go. You are correct, Holly. You have won. I did not stump you this week.
All right. Cool. I'm glad, because I hate it when I get stumped and I'm just grasping at straws. Moving on, though, I have a Pokemon for our listeners to guess. I do not remember what our last Pokemon was.
I don't remember either. That never happened. This is the first time we've ever done this.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm pretty sure that last time I remember doing Who's That Pokemon, as always, Sikodin. It's Ivan. It's Ivan who usually guesses Pokemon correctly, and Gentis. And I'm pretty sure pretty much every single time they get Pokemon correct. But good luck this week, because I've got a toughie for you. Just kidding, it's not that tough. But tip number one for you listeners who would like to guess a Pokemon this week is its generation. It is a Generation 2 Pokemon. So get all those Generation 2 Pokemon in your head. Everyone loves Generation 2, so...
That's my favorite gen.
Yeah, think of those fond times you had when it was just Generations 1 and 2, and 3 and 4 and so on and so forth hadn't come out. Anyway, it's a Fire-type Pokemon, just Fire, not a Dual-type, so it's just a Fire-type Pokemon. Think of your Gen 2 Fire-types. Mm-hmm. Finally, it is a third evolution.
Okay.
So it is the third form of a Pokemon, basically. Basically, it has evolved twice. Hopefully I made that clear. So if you have an idea after all of those tips, then good for you. This next one probably will give it away for you if you're very familiar with Gen 2 Pokemon. And the final tip for you is that this Pokemon is one Pokedex entry before one of my personal favorite Pokemon, Totodile. So this comes one number before Totodile. Again, that probably sealed the deal for you if you hadn't guessed this
Don't
Pokemon
Don't look up the
yet.
Number for Totodile, though, because that would. But you can use that as a reference point of who is in the Pokedex. But don't look at his number. Otherwise, that will effectively give you the answer, basically.
Yeah, you could look up like any of these details and kind of try to figure it out that way, but we just kind of trust you guys to listen to the podcast, and as you listen, just think like, oh, I know what that is. Yes. So yeah, let us know on Twitter using hashtag NFPokemon what you think that Pokemon is, and tag us as well if you can. That is
I'm just gonna throw out Squirtle. This totally sounds like a Squirtle Pokemon to me.
Right.
Is that correct? I mean, Squirtle is a fire type, right?
Right.
So it's a close one. I must be close, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so close. Good for you, Matt. Good for you.
Well, moving away from the Pokemon things that I don't know much about, we're going to move on to things I do know a little bit more about. See what I did there? We're going to talk about things that we have purchased or bought. Recent swag. Holly, I got something pretty cool.
I don't know what this is. You say you put on the notes here, Zelda demo cart.
Yes.
I have no idea what that refers to.
So, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time? Which one is it? I don't know.
I use Ocarina. I say Ocarina personally, but I think there's, you know, really no correct pronunciation there.
Well, O-O-T, Zelda O-O-T, they, for the Nintendo 3DS, there was demo carts that was released to different stores.
Carts for Ocarina of Time 3D?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
They weren't for sale. They were like the things that if you went into GameStop and, you know, they had like the kiosk with the 3DS there, you could go play it. This is what that is. I got a demo cart.
This has got to be semi-rare then, correct?
I thought it was. Turns out, not really. They're not super hard to come by. But they're so like you can't get them like every other day on like eBay or something. But if you do see them pop up on eBay, then they're not super expensive. I got mine for under $20, and usually they sell for about $20.
Okay.
So I thought I was getting something pretty rare for like a really, really good deal. I'm like, oh my gosh, nobody will ever have something this awesome ever. Turns out they're pretty easy to find. So it's a cool thing for me.
Did you try it out on your 3DS? Does it work on regular 3DS? Okay.
Yeah, totally works. There's a dungeon and then the I tried a little bit of it. There was a dungeon was one of the things you could venture into. It's like a very small condensed dungeon, and then you fight a boss. And
what's the boss? I want to know what dungeon it is.
It was a rock one. I can't remember.
Dodongo.
Yes.
King Dodongo, in fact.
Yeah, it's like the first one, right?
That's actually the second dungeon.
Okay,
in the game.
So the second one.
Dodongo's Cavern.
Okay, and then there's like one or two other little things, but it's been a little while since I bought this a while ago. I did not bring it up on the podcast. That's why I'm kind of cheating a little bit and bringing it up now.
No biggie. I may do the same thing this week.
I also got some GameCube games. I think I may have spoke about a couple of these in an earlier episode, but some of the games that I was able to find was Mario Strikers. I think I spoke about a couple of these games. I just wanted to bring up because I had had them up in my closet and I didn't remember if I had spoke about all of them or not. So there was that one. There was Viewful Joe 2. There was Metroid Prime 2 Corruption, or which one was 2? Corruption?
Oh, Corruption
no?
was 3. 2? Oh, darn it. What was 2? It's going to drive me crazy.
Dark World. That's the one.
That's the subtitle for it?
Why not? You tell me why that's wrong. You literally go from a light world to a dark world. I win this battle. Anyways.
I'm pulling it up right now.
I don't have all of them in front of me right now, but I got a few. I got about 5 games for about $5 to $10 a piece, which is all pretty good deals for them. And they're just adding into my collection now, which is pretty awesome. So those are the recent swag pieces that I wanted to talk about. Did you pick up anything recently, Holly?
Oh gosh, I did actually.
Oh goodness.
I have suddenly become crazy about collecting Animal Crossing Amiibo.
Oh my
understandably.
Gosh.
Understandably.
I need to get some. I don't have any. I need to buy a pack of cards.
So I did buy a pack of cards, but I wanted to first talk about the first Amiibos that I got. Someone on the Nintendoholics Facebook group was very kind enough to clue us into this amazing Amiibo kind of flash deal going on Best Buy one day. So I go to, you know, I go to the list of Amiibos. I get 2 Animal Crossing Amiibos for $2 each.
Oh, man.
That is not bad. So I got Mabel. One of the clothes makers in New Leaf. And I also got Tom Nook, both of those for just $2. From that sale, I also actually got a Fox Amiibo and a Falco Amiibo for $5 each. Not too bad. Jeez. It was a pretty good sale.
Do you remember when Amiibo were like expensive?
Yeah.
And like unruly, like hard to find?
Well, yeah, some of them are still like that pretty badly, but
I don't know.
Yeah,
most things are getting a lot of reprints now. I remember my Best Buy had Ikes for sale, tons of them, and they had a bunch of gold Mario's Amiibos and stuff you could find at Walmart even. It's kind of crazy. Those
gold Mario's I expected would stay rare forever.
Yeah, not quite. I'm glad I traded mine for my Ike when I did, and I don't feel bad about it at all. Anything else exciting for recent swag?
Well, those 4 Amiibos, I also ended up soon after that getting a 3-pack of Animal Crossing Amiibos. This is the 3-pack that contains KK Slider, Reese, and Cyrus. Reese and Cyrus are kind of, I don't know, they're kind of lame as Amiibo to me. I don't know, it's that them and Mabel, some of the Animal Crossing Amiibos, it's like, I don't care that much about this character. But
the
hey,
weird thing
when
about,
you can get them cheap.
Yes, the weird thing about Animal Crossing is like, if you're a fan of Animal Crossing, you have your favorite animal from Animal Crossing. And other people don't care anything about that for a couple reasons. One, there's a chance that you may never see some animals that some people see because of the way that the game is designed. I mean, yes, there are people that spend years playing the same Animal Crossing game, and I'm sure you'll run into them at some point. But like, there's like just like regular like village or animals that you may never have move into your town.
Right.
Like there, which is just kind of crazy, honestly, which is one of the neat things about Animal Crossing is the fact that you kind of build relationships with your favorite characters by playing the game more and more. But I don't know. It's just it's crazy that there is so many Animal Crossing characters that they could totally release, and they have. But luckily, they went to cards.
Yes, exactly. So cards actually are a way if there's a particular animal that you would like to include. And this is, we're going to talk about the Animal Crossing update a little bit later on, but you can use amiibo cards for Animal Crossing New Leaf now, which is kind of cool. Previously, they were pretty much only used in Happy Home Designer and possibly Amiibo Festival, maybe?
Well, yes, they were. You had to use them to be able to do certain things or whatever. But yeah, they're weird.
Yeah, so I got a pack of Series 2 cards. I think each series has at least a few dozen different possibilities in it. So if you buy a pack of Series 2 cards, you don't know exactly what you're going to get. You just know that there are going to be six animals from Series 2. So I got a pack of Series 2 cards. And I can't really remember. A couple of my favorites from the pack. What was that? There's one called Super S or something like that, or gosh, I wish I could remember it because it's a goofy looking animal in some kind of a superhero suit and mask or something like that. So I got some pretty cool cards. Yeah, I know. Again, there are like dozens upon dozens of different animals in Animal Crossing now. So, you know, I got a bunch that most people probably honestly wouldn't recognize. So that was pretty cool, too. I got that 3-pack of amiibos and that pack of Animal Crossing amiibo cards from Amazon for discounted prices as well. So I'm just kind of looking for any of the Animal Crossing amiibos that I can get at a decent price. Best Buy actually had Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival on sale for like $15 or something like that at one point. Maybe 16 or 17.
I would have bought it for 15.
I should have. I saw that and thought like, ooh, I could do that. I mean, it comes with two amiibos. I would buy it just for the figures. Just like I bought Chibi Robo.
Just the one. I thought it came with, I think it just comes with Isabelle.
And Digby, actually.
Oh, does it? Oh, well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
So worth it for just the amiibos to me, but I decided not to get it because I was actually running out of money for the month of October, and I think it was at the end of October when I saw that. I should have just jumped on it. I could have slid by buying that.
You could find it on eBay right now for $18.99.
Mm. I know it's $5 too much. Best Buy for $20 now, but yeah, I feel like because I mean $20 if you just for the amiibos, $20 isn't too bad of a deal either. That's like $10 per amiibo plus you get a crappy game alongside it. I mean, how bad could that possibly be?
Very, very true. Hey, it's like when Wii Play came out and everyone bought it just for the controller. Nobody wanted to play that game.
Yeah, it's true. I played that game. I don't even remember anything good about it, anything enjoyable about
nothing,
it. But yeah, $20 for Amiibo Festival, if you get the two amiibos that come with it, is not too bad. But I'm not going to pay that much just because I know I could have gotten better. I'm not going to treat myself with these amazing amiibos because I really want Isabelle, like the normal Isabelle that's not like winter clothes Isabelle or whatever. I want that amiibo, but I'm not going to treat myself because I was stupid and missed a better deal.
Well, I would not be surprised if one day you get another chance to get a deal that cheap because it's Amiibo Festival, and it will never be something anybody actually wants besides the amiibo, which surprisingly, I thought like if nothing else, like the amiibo would make this game stay like hard to find and rare, but everybody just was like, no, we don't, we will not support this, Nintendo, you are wrong, and we will let you know how wrong you were.
Yeah, we'll support it for $16 or $15 or whatever that was.
Oh yeah, $15, so, totally fair.
I finally figured out the subtitle for Metroid Prime 2. It's Echoes.
Echoes, that's right.
We finally looked at it. I looked it up in my, I actually have a physical copy of Metroid Prime Trilogy in the Steelbook and everything.
Ooh.
So I had that game kind of next to me, and so I pulled that out, actually, and looked at the inserts to find that out, so...
Well, great. We're gonna finally move away from the this amiibo segment and head into the games that came out this week. We're gonna run through them a little fast. We have one that we'll probably talk about, but for the most part, we'll just kind of run through them a little bit. On the 3DS, Mario Party Star Rush came out, which I have my eye on. I will probably pick this game up. I think it'll be fun for me and my daughter. Hyrule Warriors got some cool DLC. I've been taking a look at it just to see what it was all about. And it's pretty cool DLC, Link Between Worlds pack, and there's a lot of cool graphic changes and character uses, and just, I don't know, it was a really cool looking DLC pack. Ice Station Z survival horror game where you're in the Arctic and you got to kill zombies. Actually looks kind of neat. Unlucky Mage, this is just a JRPG, kind of a generic looking one, nothing too special, but hey, maybe it's cheap JRPG, so you may be interested in something like that. Twisted Fusion, now we're moving on to the Wii U. Twisted Fusion, which we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about. Donkey Kong Jungle Beat is out now. That's the virtual console game of the Wii U, or the Wii game. Not the GameCube, the one that uses the bongos, but the Wii one that just uses the Wiimote Nunchuck to simulate that you're using a bongo. Mario Hoops 3-on-3. This is a pretty cool Mario basketball game if you've never played it for the DS. For $10, I don't think you can do too wrong, because it's a pretty fun little game. And then Gravity Plus, which is a, I want to say it's like kind of like a mini game where you're trying to navigate these areas with a ball. And it's not mini games, but it's just kind of a small puzzle style game where you're trying to navigate through this like world with a ball. I think that's this game. I could be really wrong on that. I feel
it
bad.
It all depends.
I feel like I might be wrong. I'm going to look it up real, real fast. But...
Yeah, I didn't do any looking up this week, unfortunately. Hey, I've got two part-time jobs and an online class and, you know, other things to deal with in my life right now.
Stop sounding like such an adult.
Blame me too much. Oh, yeah, I think I did mention that last episode that I was actually on. I keep thinking, like, did I make that excuse to the listeners yet about how I have an online class now?
I don't know. But
just so they know, like, that's why I'm not playing a lot of games.
This is actually a single-screen arcade-style game. You're trying to navigate a course while falling and moving around. It looks kind of interesting. Nothing too spectacular, but something that could be a good time waster or, you know, overall just some kind of fun game to be had. I don't know. It's worth looking at. I probably won't pick it up, but it is a platforming type puzzle game is what it is. Nothing to do with balls. I was wrong with pinballs, basically. And then we do have one more game. It's called Pinball Breakout. Maybe that's why I got those two confused, but this game is a Pinball Breakout clone. So there's that. But moving on now to what we've been playing, I have been playing some video games, Holly, and one of those is actually Twisted Fusion. Now, I'm pretty sure you got this as well. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yes. Actually, oh, gosh.
Have you had any time to play it?
No, I haven't. I haven't picked it up a single time yet, which is really sad, but...
It is, only because...
Just how responsible I'm being lately, I guess.
It is, only because it's a lot of fun. I was very, very impressed with the game overall. Like, first off, it should be known, obviously we've had the developer come onto the podcast a couple of times, friend of the show. He has his own podcast called, what's their podcast called? I don't want to mess it up. It's
Nintendo Voice.
Nintendo Voice, yes. Okay. They have a very good Nintendo podcast as well. But yeah, we're very friendly with the developer, obviously. Mike Miskirti, he wrote the review for the game, and it's a very good review, and I thought he hit all the points very, very well for the game. I'm going to do something special. Instead of doing a written review, because we already have that on the site, I'm going to try and do a podcast review, which is going to be about 3 to 4 minutes long, where I just spend a little bit of time in a very monotone sounding voice talking about Twisted Fusion, the video game for the Nintendo Wii U.
Right now, or not right now, a special episode.
I'm going to do a special that I'll upload hopefully within the next week. That's my plan at least.
Gosh, I don't know if I could find the time to play it. Sadly, it'd be really fun to do kind of like a podcast review on it with like two different people talking about it, so we can get multiple perspectives and things. But again, I don't think I can promise.
It would be fun.
That I will.
It's a very good game. I want to state, you know, I wanted to get all that stuff out of the way, so if it sounds like we're gushing over the game, you will be like, oh, it's because you know. But I do want to say some negatives. Like, the art style is not appealing to me at all. I don't like the semi-anime-looking females that are in the game. I don't like the kind of mix between, like, 16-bit and, I don't know, maybe 24-bit or something graphics for the actual main game. I don't like that there's not a lot of information based upon your, like, when you're fighting an enemy, how much damage you're doing to that enemy and how much longer that enemy will survive. Like, I do have some negatives and some criticisms for the game. Overall, though, the game is really, like, full and detailed, and there's, like, a ton of stuff to do. Like, you get to collect these monsters, and then you get to evolve those monsters, and then you get to send them to a monster tower to unlock more things. There's a really large game map, which is really cool. The dungeons, I like... And I think that it's really nice how open they are. They're very open-ended. The main goal of each dungeon or tower is what they're called in this, is to basically find, I think it's four to five, I think it's four keys, three regular keys, one special key, and that opens up the gate where the boss of the tower is living, and then you have to go and fight the boss. And it's a fun adventure the whole time, and then trying to traverse the land from going left to right to find all the secrets and stuff. It's a lot of fun. And it's very full. I think Mike put in almost 20 hours, and it's a $5 game.
Wow.
If you're looking for an eShop game, honestly, this is a very good value for $5. It's really, really good, and I've had a lot of fun playing it. So I definitely want to let my opinion be heard. Hopefully, within this next week, I'll get that little... It's going to be like a 2 to 3 minute podcast that just kind of goes over like the positives, the negatives, and why I think you should, if you should or shouldn't, I don't want to spoil it, should or shouldn't get it. Spoiler, you should probably go get this game.
In fact, well, you know what? I'm just going to say it. I figured like maybe I wasn't allowed to somehow, but I did end up with two copies of this game. I didn't realize... So, Lewis, bless his heart, he sent me a copy of the game before it came out, and I think he intended for that to be kind of a review copy. But I thought it was the copy that that basically I would get from having supported the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter and was able... I actually supported the Kickstarter pretty well and was able to get access to the beta and things like that, which was all sorts of fun and everything like that. But obviously I got to receive my own copy of the game as well. So that first copy, that first code that Lewis sent to me, I just figured, oh, this is for backing the game. He sent it to me personally. How nice. But then I ended up, like maybe a few days ago, receiving a code for my actual backed the Kickstarter copy. So now I have a code that I don't really know what to do with. And you know what?
Are you hinting at a giveaway?
We're giving this thing away.
I don't know how yet.
In fact, I think that we should do it kind of through your review episode of the podcast. However you want to give it away, I've got this code and we're going to do it.
That's a great idea. We'll talk about it. It's going to be something based around probably commenting or emailing type situation. Mm-hmm. But I like that idea. So be on the lookout for a special review episode of Twisted Fusion, where we are also going to be giving away a copy of Twisted Fusion. So that'll be exciting.
Yes. North America only, but yes. Hey... That's better than nothing.
Exactly. And I did play a little bit of Golden Sun. I didn't want to like go super in depth. I just want to say that is such a good RPG. It is just so much fun. And it's weird because I put it down, haven't played it for a really long time, and I was able to figure out what my quest was and what it was I was supposed to be doing. And it was just a really nice... It was interesting because I did a quest, and then I was able to put it down. It took me roughly 30, 40 minutes or whatever. And it was like this... It reminded me, oh yeah, this is like a handheld game. Like, you're meant to, like, do these kind of, like, smaller chunk quests that is part of a bigger mission, and then you can kind of put it down and leave it alone for a little while. So, it's just a really good game with great graphics, but I just wanted to touch that real quick, just say that I played a little bit of Golden Sun and some other games, but that one a little bit more. So, I don't know, that's about it for me. Holly, have you been playing anything interesting, or just living life as an adult?
I have been playing our feature for today, which is Animal Crossing. So awesome. We can actually go right into that if you want.
That's great. I think that we should. We'll just jump directly into our more or less feature of Animal Crossing, where we're going to be talking about the direct that happened. It was about, I want to say a week and a half ago the direct happened.
It was earlier this week.
Was it this week?
Yes. It was it was Thursday or something like that.
Thursday?
No. Or Wednesday, maybe? I'm thinking Thursday, though.
I think you're going cray-cray. Maybe I'm going cray-cray. I don't know.
I'm going to check you.
Yeah, both of us instantly just start typing on our keyboards. Because I swear it was... this is the fourth for that. That's not the direct. I don't know. Anyways, we are going to be talking about what happened during the direct. Because there was a lot of cool information that came out. It was it was very, very interesting how they did the direct. It was very dry humor. It was a lot of... It was on the 2nd, so yes, you're right. It was on Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wow, I'm terrible. You're awesome. Yes.
Yeah, so this is really recent. I think the fact that we're kind of off of our podcasting schedule, it kind of makes us confused as to what happened when.
Yes, but there was a free update for Animal Crossing New Leaf, which I want to give Nintendo props on finding a way to make a almost like 5 year old game relevant in some capacity.
Oh, it's only about 3.5 years old, I think.
I'm gonna
or
stop,
just three even.
I'm gonna stop using time frames at all. But 3 years is still a long time ago for a game, because the way that games work is after the first month, then they're irrelevant usually. So good job, Nintendo, for making this game relevant again for a little while. And I didn't know this, but did you know the game on the eShop is only $20?
Well, it's a, I think it's a Nintendo Select.
Still, I was shocked because Nintendo does a terrible job of dropping the prices on their games. Usually they stay at $30 or $40 forever, and this one's a $20 game on the eShop, which is such a great deal for this game.
Yeah, you should be able to get it physically for that much as well, because, like I say, it's a Nintendo Select title, and that Nintendo Selects will always apply to eShop as well as physical.
Well, that's awesome. Like I was saying, but yeah, it's a really, really good game. But the things that happened with it, we got Amiibo support for both the cards and the figurines. It allows basically trailers to come and move into your town, and then you can have them move in forever if you want them to. Kind of adds another, if there's like a certain animal that you really want to move in to your town, then you can scan that one so they'll come and visit you. Wolflink, yes, eventually. Yes. Did you get that one?
I've got the Amiibo, but I haven't scanned it in yet. You can only scan in, as far as I can tell, you can only scan in one Amiibo per day.
What?
Yes.
That's no bueno. But,
usually, I mean, this is a slow burn kind of game where...
Very true.
Where, yeah, things happen on a day-to-day basis. Like, you can't just you can't just fly through the game in a day. You can't speed run this game. You can't...
I want to see a speed run of this game. That's a great idea.
How do you even know that you've beaten Animal Crossing is another thing. So it's kind of like that. It is fairly disappointing, but I've actually started... by scanning in my Animal Crossing Amiibos. I'm trying to exercise some patience, especially since I started a brand new town and stuff, and I kind of want to figure out how the Amiibo situation works before I try to jump the gun and scan in Wolf Link, and then, you know, because their trailer will come, but then I think you have to talk to them multiple times or something like that to get them to actually move into your town. So I kind of want to figure out how test the waters, figure out how the whole situation works before I start scanning in the cool Amiibos like Callie and Marie, totally scanning them in when I get a chance. Wolf Link, of course. And then I don't know how to get Ganon in your town exactly, but I'd love... Oh, hang on. I have Ganondorf, the Ganondorf Amiibo. I'm sure that'll get Ganon to come to my town.
Yeah,
so I'd love Ganon in my town, and Epona, that's a huge one that I want, but I, again, have no idea how I would get that in there, so...
Well, there you go. Obviously, there's a lot of, as you can tell, very excited to have all these new exciting Amiibo move into your town. But there's a couple other things that the Direct taught us about, and I haven't had a chance. I am literally updating the game as we're recording this podcast, so I haven't got a chance to check it out. I am late. Like I said, after a week, everything's irrelevant. But have you played the mini games that are available for it? How do those work, function? How do you get into them? Because there's two mini games that have got added with this update. There's a Puzzle League style game where you're going against the mayor, or you are the mayor, not sure which. And then there's also the Escape from the Desert Island that was on the Amiibo Festival that everyone said was the best part of Amiibo Festival.
Yes.
Well, now that's available on the 3DS version of New Leaf, which I'm super excited about because I think it looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. I haven't figured out how to unlock either of them, though. You unlock, like, you have to get a Wii console in order, or a Wii U console in order to play the Desert Island one. And then you have to get a 3DS item, I think, to play the Puzzle League one. And I'm not sure how to get either of those. At least I have figured out, some people, I think, have been having trouble figuring out how to get Wisp, the genie character that you scan Amiibos with, I guess. Some people haven't been able to figure out how that happens, but I am lucky enough that I at least have figured that out so far. As far as actually scanning Amiibos in, so far I've only scanned, like, NPC character Amiibos in, Tom Nook and Mabel, and both of those don't really do anything. So I really need to start scanning my cards in, because cards are actual villagers that I'm sure will actually have a camper that you can go visit them in. But yeah, I haven't been able to figure out the mini game thing. I'm not in a huge hurry to do so. Again, Animal Crossing is just a game. You play it for as long as you can one day, and then you put it down for that day and come back to it the next day. So I'm patient.
I guess you are correct. You have to find a Wii U console to get the Desert Island Escape, and you have to find a 3DS to get the Puzzle League game. And I guess those items can be found inside fortune cookies from the Nookling shop. So you got to go through them to get the fortune cookies to hopefully, you know, cross your fingers and unlock them. But I like the idea because did you play Animal Crossing for the GameCube back in the day?
I did not, unfortunately. Oh my gosh. I didn't get into it till the Wii game.
I'm sure you know this, but like one of the best parts about that game was that you could find NESs and then you could play through classic games on the GameCube. And this is very familiar of that. If you find a 3DS and you can play this game, that's exactly what you used to be able to do for the NESs in the GameCube version. The same thing with the Wii U unlocking this other game. I like the idea, because Animal Crossing is already built around the idea of like living a quote-unquote life. So I like the idea of being able to like find games that you can then play inside of a game. I don't know why that sounds appealing at all. As I say it out loud, it just sounds really lonely when I say it out loud. But it's a lot of fun, obviously.
Not super appealing to me. I've been diligently scanning my Amiibos into Amiibo Tap, Nintendo's Greatest Bits, for example. And
you're so crazy.
That's probably one of the best like NES Super Nintendo demo services that you can actually find. I actually like that.
I know.
How you can play later parts of a game that you might not be able to reach otherwise because you're not dedicated enough or you're not good enough because those games are hard.
I think that
I kind of like that concept.
I know you like it, and I don't frown upon you for liking it because I think it's definitely beneficial for somebody. I'm not saying like you, but I'm saying somebody in your situation that did not grow up with an NES and doesn't like have the same nostalgia like I do personally. But like I don't find it too appealing to like play segments of the game. I want to go through and like actually play the game personally. But I don't know. I don't think it matters a huge amount. Obviously, it's just me. I don't know. I guess just being old.
That's okay. I guess everybody probably feels a little different about it. But have you ever beaten Kid Icarus, the original?
No, but see, that's my nostalgia, is I know I'll never beat it. So I just leave it alone.
Fine. I enjoy. Like, I think I recently got Kid Icarus or unlocked that on Nintendo or Amiibo Tap. And I really enjoyed seeing some of the later parts of that game because I've seen the early parts of the game and that's pretty much it. So, yeah, just depends on the person though, apparently.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't frown upon it at all. I can understand why it would be a positive thing for anybody, honestly. Not just you, but like anybody that's looking into getting into those kinds of games, it could be a positive thing. So I don't know if there's too much else to talk about. What did you think of the Direct? I was hoping that we would maybe possibly get a little bit of news about the mobile games for Animal Crossing. Obviously, that didn't happen. I was being more wishful than I think, like, knowing that it was a possibility, but
I don't know. Maybe I believe Nintendo too much. I'm naive, and I just kind of go with what Nintendo says, and Nintendo said that it would be exclusively talking about the Amiibo update that would be happening, and so I didn't have any hope whatsoever.
Very true.
Figured Nintendo would do what they said they were going to do, and that's what they did.
They're definitely pretty honest in that regard. I don't know if too many times you can really say that they've ever like gone against like what it is that
they said.
I mean, but it does happen sometimes where we get some kind of cool, interesting stuff. But more than likely, it's just what they tell us.
The last Direct that wasn't based on a particular game, it said it would exclusively talk about upcoming Nintendo 3DS games or something like that.
Yeah.
It unveiled like a bunch of details about how Nintendo's going to celebrate the Zelda 30th anniversary. We got the kind of like logo for Zelda's 30th anniversary. We got the announcement for the Amiibos that would kind of celebrate the 30th anniversary, and Nintendo said like, yes, these are going to work with Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
And it's like, whoa, that is very much Wii U news right there, and just kind of Amiibo in general. But yeah, Nintendo will do that once in a while, but I still didn't have any hope, I suppose, this time around that they would talk about more than just Amiibo, Amiibo update in Animal Crossing.
Which it turns out you were absolutely correct. But before we go, Holly, because I know that we're kind of dwindling down to the end of the episode, because I think that's about it that we can really talk about to really push the Amiibo update from Animal Crossing. But I want to know, because I haven't got to hear a whole lot of your opinions or thoughts, what do you think of the Switch? How excited are you? I don't know anything about how you feel right now.
I've been kind of silent.
So
on a lot of fronts, actually.
So what do you think of the Switch? Are you excited for it? Are you downed on it at all? Is it what you thought it would be? Is it worse, better, blah, blah, blah? You take it away, Holly. What do you think of the Switch?
It's pretty much like a dream come true, I feel like. You can literally play this thing however you want. I mean, the rumors said, like, it's going to have these weird attachable controllers that will each, you know, be an individual controller for the game, for the console and things like that. And nobody really knew how that could work and look good. But man, this thing is sleek. It's like when you plug the tablet device into its docking system, its dock, so that you can play it on the TV screen. I mean, it's tiny and it's sleek in that form. And then you pull it out, you put the attachable controllers on it, and you pull it out, and it's a handheld. Once again, it is just gorgeous. A gorgeous little system in terms of the hardware and what it looks like. I think that the form factor is amazing. I think it looks like it's gonna have some good ergonomics too, even as just a handheld, because it's actually got some kind of curves to it. I feel like, you know, just based on kind of seeing that there's some substantial kind of like finger space, I guess you could say, up at the shoulder button area, even when it's a handheld. So I just think that it looks amazing. And again, you can play it. This is one of the most exciting things to me. You can play it like literally however you want. Yes. Play it on the TV screen. Play it with that chunky, like, what are they calling it?
It's called the Joy-Con something. Because the two...
The Joy-Con dock or something like
yeah,
that.
Joy-Con,
yeah, Joy-Con.
Have you seen the Joy-Con dog?
Yeah, I think I have, actually.
I think those are pretty adorable and
we've got
pretty
some good
nice
memes.
Yes, there's some great memes out of this about it. What do you think of the idea? Like, do you see yourself kind of using this as a portable and as a home console, though? Like, do you see yourself using it as one or the or more of one than you do the other?
I'm admittedly kind of a homebody. I probably will use it as a home console wherever possible, but I when I do travel, I'm definitely going to take it with me, just like I would take a 3DS system with me when I travel. And I may have tweeted about this, maybe not, I'm not sure. But I am taking, you can actually take it with you as a portable, and you can use the Pro Controller on the go when it's in portable format, as well as when it's on the TV screen.
Yes.
I'm not shy about taking a bunch of crap with me when I go out the door to work or wherever. I am taking that Pro Controller with me everywhere I go. And when I play it on the go, I am using that little kickstand and I'm playing with the Pro Controller. And that is just the marvelous thing about it, is that you can play it however you want. And if you think those Joy-Con controllers look like crap, like they're just not going to, you know, hold up as halfway decent controllers, it doesn't matter. Do what I do and take a Pro Controller with you when you go places. And if you can't, then that's fine. If you want to play multiplayer, buy multiple Pro Controllers. The possibilities are pretty much endless, and that is something that's super exciting. Probably more exciting to me, though, is that once the 3DS has run its course and Nintendo basically is going to be focusing entirely on the Switch, which I think will happen because this is a handheld. I don't think the 3DS is going to last that much longer once the Switch gets out there into people's hands. I get the feeling that it'll sell like crazy. I hope it will anyway. And Nintendo will kind of have a good reason to focus more on it than they do on the 3DS. And just the thought of all of Nintendo's resources kind of like laser focused onto one console, that is incredible. If we get any more Fire Emblem games, they are going to be gorgeous HD Fire Emblem games that you can play on the TV or on the go. If we get any more Pokemon games, which of course I think we are, I get the feeling that Gen 8, I mean, I don't know if any Nintendo console has had more than two Pokemon generations on it. So Gen 8, I feel like, has to be on the Switch. The first, like, fully HD Pokemon game that you can play on the TV as well as on the go is going to be amazing. My brother is hopeful that they'll actually also remake Gen 4 with Gen 8, if that makes any sense.
That's what they usually do. They usually do a remake and then a new game, so it wouldn't be too surprising.
Exactly. So Gen 8 of Pokemon, followed by the Gen 4 remakes, all on the Switch, that would be... That would, oh my heavens, that would be so incredible. So I'm just, my mind is going crazy over thinking about all the games that are usually kind of reserved for handhelds. Like I say, Fire Emblem and Pokemon are huge, huge examples of that on the Switch, on the TV or on the go, however you want to play them. It all just has me so excited. I'm also obviously excited for potential like updates or sequels maybe to Mario Kart and Splatoon, which we may have gotten a little glimpse of in the trailer. I personally think, so Breath of the Wild, Zelda Breath of the Wild is probably going to launch on this thing, which will be a huge benefit to it, even though I hate the fact that the game is going to be on Wii U as well. I almost feel like, you know, it's just a Wii U yeah. game that we decided to kind of, you know, like toss on to the NX. I don't like that.
I don't either. I would have preferred. I will definitely buy it for the Switch. Like, especially if they seem to be coming out day and date, which I would imagine they're going to be close to, kind of like what Twilight Princess did. And obviously, we've had this happen before with Twilight Princess, so we kind of have a idea of what to expect in a certain way. But I think for sure there's no reason to get it for the Wii U other than a collectible reason, because the only reason why, like, they're coming out with a brand new console, and if you want to play that brand new console, why not play arguably what the best game is going to be on that console for the foreseeable future? I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I want to make sure that we kind of stay positive with this, because one of these days, Holly, we're going to get into our fears or negatives of the Switch, but today it's all positive. And
sure,
I agree with you when it comes to like the idea of getting a Splatoon 2 and the kickstand. Like, the moment the kickstand popped out, I was like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah, you don't have to buy like some clunky like cover, I guess, for it to get a kickstand. It's just built right in. That's amazing. So I get the feeling, though, Zelda Breath of the Wild, I think it's gonna launch on it. If it didn't, I would be shocked. I get the feeling it's been a very long time since we have had a legit 3D Mario game. I get the feeling Nintendo has been working on this game and it is nearing completion or even done and also ready to go for the Switch. Yes. What if this thing launches with Zelda and Mario?
That'd be pretty epic. That
best,
would be
like literally the best video game system launch ever. I don't think anyone could contest.
I'd be more than happy. And to everybody that's like pointing out like, oh, the footage that they're showing on the screen is not actual footage because you can see it through the girl's shirt a little bit, you know, it's translucent, blah blah blah. Obviously this is not all going to be the actual footage. It's a trailer, it's a preview, it's not a demonstration, it's a concept, it's an idea, it's letting you know what there's going to be something similar or like. Am I worried about the graphic capability? Not really. We know that there's going to be 4 gigs of RAM on it. We know that it's going to be somewhere between a PS4 and a high-end Wii U. Like, we know that it's going to look good. I don't need the greatest graphics ever. It's going to be a handheld. It's going to have a 720p screen on it for when you're playing it on the go. That's better than almost anything that we have available to us when it comes to a full-on gaming device. Like, it's going to look good. Anybody that doesn't believe that it's going to look good, look at your Wii U. That only plays in 720 on your, I think it's actually 480. It plays in standard definition on your gamepad, and it looks fine. You don't need to be worried or scared about this. Like, if you're going to be excited for the Switch, but then like say that you're disappointed in what they showed, like you have no concept of like what you're looking for. It sounds like there is always going to be something that is going to bug you or annoy you, regardless of what they showed you. Like, they could give you everything you wanted, and then you're still going to dislike something just so you can be negative about it. Which is fine. Be negative if you want to. But understand that all this trailer was that, in fact, a trailer, a concept, an idea.
Yeah, just showing, like, this is what the Switch is about. This yes. isn't necessarily what games are going to look like on it or what games are going to be on it. But this is just the concept of it. It's a device that you can completely, one of the coolest things about the trailer is that it appears as though the transition between going from TV to portable or portable to TV is just going to be flawless.
Yes, which would be really cool.
Yes.
I don't know. There's still a lot to be shown. There's a lot to be heard. There's a lot to be seen. We are going to have to wait until next year to get any more information. Thank you, Nintendo, for telling us that we have to wait. That way we don't have to speculate like we were doing so long for the NX.
Trailer. We've got to get it up to 20 million views.
I got to send you the parody one. Have you seen the parody of the Wii U, of the Nintendo Switch? I'm going to find
Will Smith's song or something?
No. They show like a real case.
That one I already saw and I thought it was kind of lame.
I did too. Not super impressed with that one. But the parody for the Nintendo Switch trailer, it's like they're showing like actual uses of it in a way. And like, there's you know the scene at the end of the trailer where the girl goes out and she's like trying to show her friends like this thing at a party.
Nintendo, like, Karen, man, who doesn't know about Nintendo Karen?
Oh my gosh,
that Karen amiibo had better happen. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the trailer, the parody trailer, like she like shows up with the Switch and everyone's looking at her like, what are you doing? We're trying to hang out. Why are we playing this thing? We're all here outside. Can we just hang out? It's great. It's really,
yeah,
really
that,
funny.
That comes from the whole Nintendo Karen thing. There was like a Tumblr post. Some guy posted, you know, just a picture, I think, showing like, oh, here comes Karen. And then his caption for the picture was something like, Karen, why did you bring your Nintendo Switch again?
Yes.
We're out here drinking. We're having conversations.
Yes, exactly. It's, oh my gosh. There's this one channel I gotta
Karen,
find it.
Man.
It's so good. Okay, but
we love Karen though for being one of us kind of geek homebody.
Homebody
type.
That's totally what I want to do. Like, I would totally be that guy that wants to bring my Switch out with me when everyone else is like hanging out. Like, I just want to be the person that's just like, I just want to play this. Is that okay, guys? Like, I don't know. That's
you can
me.
Play with me, but I'm playing this whether you like it or not. Yeah. That's me as well.
Yeah.
So
but,
good on you, Karen.
I don't know. It was a really good commercial. I'm happy to hear that you're excited. We'll have to get into it maybe within the next couple of weeks. Our hopes, our dreams, and our fears and our nightmares. And we'll talk more in depth about the Switch. We'll obviously do things like what games we'd like to see on it. Hopefully, this will happen. Blah blah blah. But yeah, thank you, Holly, so much for joining me. Is there anything else that you wanted to state on the podcast?
Not really. I guess we'll probably go into it later, but I'm curious as to whether you guys talked about the price, what you think the price of the NX is going to be.
We
but
didn't.
Maybe we can.
But
you
that
did
would
not?
Be something. Yeah, I don't think we spoke about what we thought. I'm guessing probably 250 to 300 is what for sure. I'd be shocked if it's more than 300, and I'd be even more blown away if it was less than 250. I don't see that happening.
Oh my gosh, 200 would just be a dream come true.
It'd be too good. But we'll talk more about that very
too
soon.
Good though, yeah.
The only other thing that I do want to state on the podcast is to make sure and go check out the Nintendo Fever website. We have a lot of really cool stuff coming up. We just got two new writers that are going to be doing some reviews for the Mii Plaza games, and also a feature covering all of the Legend of Zelda games from the NES upward to hopefully, you know, eventually when Breath of the Wild comes out as well. So really cool features. I'm going to be doing a little bit more writing on the website. Holly's going to try and do a little bit more writing on the website. Right now we have a review for Twisted Fusion. We have that very first article about The Legend of Zelda for the NES. So go and check out the website. I did write an article recently called Sports Games Should Matter for the Switch. You know me, I like sports games and wrestling games. It's all about my opinions based on games that we should hopefully see available for the Nintendo Switch when that happens. So go and check out all that fun stuff.
Feel free to comment too if you're able to log into Livefire. We are aware that there are problems with people trying to log into Livefire on the site so that they can comment on the actual post, but we are working our best to get that fixed, so hopefully commenting on the site will become a more regular and easy to do thing as well. So
yes, which we'd love to see. If nothing else, please hit us up on Twitter. I'm at OnlyMattDezen. The official website Twitter is at Nintendo Fever. Holly is?
At Holly Falmouth.
And make sure to find us on iTunes, rate and review, and on the Google Play Store as well. Please leave a rating and a review as well. It helps us, and we appreciate it a ton. But until next time, I guess that's about it. So see you guys later.
We'll see ya.